Today on Real Radio.
Man, the Bible says we've got a wedding that's in store for us that is awesome, exciting. It's going to be tremendous. When the church, which is referred to as the bride of Christ, listen, will in heaven, in a spiritual, amazing manner, marry our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the Bible, the church of this last 2,000 years is espoused or engaged to Christ.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. On recent broadcasts of Real Radio, we spent some time in the first part of chapter 19 in a study called Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus. Well, in the following few verses, which we're going to be looking at today, there is contained the familiar text of that chorus itself. Exactly what is everyone celebrating? We are told of the marriage of the Lamb in this passage. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study simply called, I Do.
Revelation 19 in our study this morning, verses 6 to 10. And simply the title, if you're taking notes, you ought to write down the title. The title is, I Do. Can you put that down? I Do. You say, well, Pastor, sounds like a wedding. It sounds like something you would say at a marriage. That's exactly what it's all about. I do. And as we get into this message this morning, I want to convey to you that the reason why this message is entitled the way that it is because when I read and study and see what's before us, I want to shout to God, I do. When a husband and wife to be comes up to this platform in this church, they can't wait to get to the point where I have them say, I do. I'll say, John, if you agree with these things, simply respond by saying, I do. And it's so cute because sometimes, and it's quite frequent, by the way, sometimes the husband-to-be, and by the way, it's always the husband-to-be. I've never seen it with the wife-to-be. You guys, hear me out. The husband-to-be, I'll say, do you take Susie to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you? And he'll interrupt me. I do. Wait a minute. We're not, when we get done, respond by saying I do. Okay, sorry. And so, do you promise to honor and cherish? And I do. Wait a minute. Will you wait a minute? I'm not done yet. Now, the bride-to-be, she's all composed. She's there. She's got her gown. She's all done up. And she is just taking it all in. The guy, it's like, let's go. Let's get this show on the road. We'll come enter in from that area down the sanctuary aisle. And the guys are like, oh, okay, come on. And the groom, he's just so pumped. And then they open the doors and he's fidgeting and because he's right here to my left. He's right here just freaking out. And then she comes down and you can see her. It's great. She's like this. Right? She's just taken every moment and this is something she has rehearsed in her mind all her life. She is not going to run down the aisle. He wants her to run down the aisle. He wants me, in fact, just to skip to the part I now pronounce. He wants to get out of the reception. He wants to get to wherever they're going. I always tell a groom right before we walk out, oh, she looks great. I saw her and I prayed with her and we prayed together. Now we're ready to go. Yes, I'm so excited. Are you nervous? Yeah, I'm nervous. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord came back right now? Just one night. Is that groom's request? He can't wait to say, I do. She cannot wait to say, I do. And as we come to Revelation 19, these verses that are before us, it is all about a wedding. It is all about a gathering. It is all about our future, church, and it's exciting. Man, if you're not a Christian this morning, what in the world are you looking forward to? Retirement. Really? How long is that going to last? I'm talking about, we're looking at a portion of scripture that speaks about the Christian's foreverness with God. It's going to be great. And so as we get ready for this study entitled I Do, what we understand is this, is that we have now come to this point, which is considered by many, by the way, to be the high point of the book of Revelation, though it only displays several verses before us. It is what it means to us that makes it such a high point. In fact, listen, in my way of thinking, I like to put it this way, that this is the reward. This is Jesus' reward of his passion. We're all familiar with the passion of the Christ, that week in history when Jesus suffered. But you need to ask the question this morning, why did he suffer? To what benefit did Jesus suffer for? Out of all that he accomplished on that week of suffering, when he was rejected by the nation Israel, and as he has been rejected, by the way, by the world by and large, when he was betrayed and crucified, that week when he wept in the garden, what was going on? Why would he stick through all of that? My friend, it was the reward that Jesus would purchase and obtain for himself. It's what came after the passion of the Christ. It is the reward of the Christ, the reward of what is done, been given, allowed it to him by God the Father, the Bible tells us, and it's very exciting. In verses 6 through 10 is found the reasons why Jesus Christ came to earth. That's what's wonderful about this portion of scripture. Somebody might ask you, why did Jesus come to earth? Well, you might rightly say to die for our sins, but that's not all. He didn't come just to die. He came and he died in hope. Did you know that? He couldn't wait for that resurrection Sunday morning. He went to the cross knowing that this was not the end. He went to the cross knowing that that weekend in history was a transition whereby he would purchase out of the world those that would believe in him, that he would redeem Israel back from her lost state, and that salvation would be granted to the world. It's an exciting thing. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, you might want to jot it down, it's a great verse in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so that is a great thing to keep in mind, that Jesus went to the cross for you and I because there was a great reward that was set before him. I'd love for you to think about something right now. It's very important. And maybe you've never thought about this before. And as we go through this study, I want you to zoom in on this truth. Is there anything that you're anticipating right now? Is there something that you're excited about? I'm not talking about a negative thing. I'm talking about, is it something neat coming? Are you going on vacation soon? Is that what it is? Or is there a promotion that's coming? Or is there something, is there a wedding in your life? Is there something coming? And you're like, yes, I can't wait. You've got that anticipation. I want to challenge you as we go through this study this morning. We rarely, if ever, think about God being excited about something. We think he's got it all. We think that he's sitting around completely content. Don't get me wrong. He's content in all things. He's got it all. There's nothing that he needs. But do you know what? This is what I want to challenge you with. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, is waiting right now. Did you know that? He's waiting. He is anticipating. He is waiting for the Father, by the way, to make an announcement, as we shall see this morning. There's an anticipation in the heart of God that transcends far greater than any anticipation you and I have this morning. You ever think of that? That God is waiting and anxious about something, and that is for you and I to be with him. He wants us to be there. He said, oh, Jack, I want to be there too. Not as much as God wants you there. He wants you there more. Oh, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe Jesus rose again from the dead. I want to go to heaven, but I don't think I'll ever make it. I don't know if God wants me. Listen, my friend, the truth of the matter is, if you are turning towards Christ and saying, I want you, Lord, did you know that's from God? Did you know that your entrance into heaven has been assured by the Lord? Because that's what Jesus did, was to purchase your ticket on the cross, and you don't have to wonder and doubt and be afraid of the fact that you may or may not be there. All those, he said, who trust in him shall not be put to shame. Isn't that exciting? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. It's great to hear that amen. It's so very, very important. So, as we look to our study this morning, join with me, Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 6. I heard, as it were, the loud voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. You ought to mark that. And his wife has made herself ready. That's interesting. Verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true saints of God. And I fell at his feet, John says, to worship. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Church, remember from our previous study, the setting is in heaven. Now the event is a wedding gathering, and the reality of it is powerful. And I want you to be asking this question in your mind. Do you respond to these things? Would you say, I do, to these things? This is extremely important. Note number one, the marriage of the Lamb and the bride of Christ. Why should we shout, I do? Because number one, we would say this. Don't you want to know? Do you not want to know real relationship? Every one of us do. Look at these verses with me. At verse 6, where we left off last time, it sets the stage for verses 7 to 10 regarding knowing a real relationship. Note this. This is the Bible showing you and I a wedding, an event, and God is beckoning you to be part of it. I love the impact of that. God is saying, Fred, Wilma, Barney, Betty, I want you to be part of this. No, Pastor, I believe God is mean and angry and wicked. God is saying, I want you to be in heaven. You've got this concept of God. Break it. Throw it down and turn to your Bible and hear what he's saying. He is saying, I want you to be there. And how does he want us to be there? Ask yourself this question. Will you respond by saying, I do, to this? And that is, do you want to know real relationship? That's extremely important. How so? God desires us to be glad. Noted in the Bible, verse 7. Let us be glad is the announcement. That's what's given to John. He sees heaven rejoicing. Those are people, you know. John's looking into the future. He's seeing where the church is at in the future. And John sees what you and I are going to be declaring. Let us be glad. Why are they saying this? Because it is an actual reality. The word in the Greek means this, and I'm going to give it to you exactly how it is. It's a blast. A deep cheerfulness, an overriding sense of contentment of heart to the point of being immovable. It is exactly what Paul said when everybody began to weep and bemoan the fact that Paul was about to be arrested for his witness for Christ. Paul said, Why do you cry? To make me weep? These things I've just heard about my imprisonment in Jerusalem? He says, none of these things, what? Move me? I'm not moved by these temporal things. Paul said, I'm not shaken by what man can do to me. Man, that's faith, isn't it, everybody? Don't you want to have faith like that? I'm not shaken by what the government can do to me. I'm not shaken by what somebody might threaten upon me. Paul says, I don't need to hear all that stuff because it's not going to matter. None of these things move me. That's the word. Paul is saying, I have a deep cheerfulness and overriding sense of contentment of heart. Well, John is saying the same thing. When we're in heaven, God desires you and I to have an overwhelming sense of gladness. This is heaven. John wants us to run to the wedding. He wants us to be excited about it. He wants us to be prepared for it. Did you see that poor woman this week? Because I don't know her. I don't know her mental stability or what's going on in that relationship. I feel for the man As a parent, I feel for her mom and dad. They were just right down to the, you know, she's supposed to get married yesterday. And it says here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Associated Press, a Georgia bride-to-be who vanished just days before a wedding turned up in New Mexico after fabricating a tale of abduction before admitting Saturday that she had gotten cold feet and needed some time alone, said police. Jennifer Wilbanks, 32 years of age, was in police custody more than 1,420 miles away from where the wedding was to take place. That's pretty far, you know. Ray Schultz, chief of police in Albuquerque, said Wilkins had become scared and concerned about her impending marriage. Is that how you look at it? I have an impending marriage. Oh, man. And decided she needed some time alone, so she traveled to Las Vegas. Yes, that's where I go to be alone, is Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas apparently doesn't stay in Vegas. She runs from her wedding to Vegas to be alone. Okay, there's a lot not right with this story. It turns out that Miss Wilbanks basically felt the pressure of this large wedding and could not handle it, said Randy Belcher, the police chief in Duluth, Georgia, the Atlanta suburb where Wilbanks lives. No criminal charges will be sought. Why? It was stated, the story is sad enough. Man, isn't it terrible? Can you imagine? God says, be a part of me. I want you to be involved in this wedding, in this celebration. And some of you this morning, you might have cold feet. You try to run like Jonah. Run, run, run from God. And you run to Vegas, maybe. Can you imagine in the future? Someone's going to be listening on the radio, and they're going to be driving. They're going to drive to Vegas, and they're going to hear this. They're going to slam on their brakes. Well, maybe you're thinking, Pastor, can you hurry up? Because I was just going to head off to Vegas right after Sunday service. Whoa! Running. Jonah was running. Jonah ran, ran, ran. And eventually, because God does not give up, he wins in the end. Jonah wound up running right into God's will anyway. Maybe you've been running from God. This poor woman is running, running from an impending wedding. Man, the Bible says we've got a wedding that's in store for us that is awesome, exciting. It's going to be tremendous. When the church, which is referred to as the bride of Christ, listen, will in heaven, in a spiritual, amazing manner, marry our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the Bible, the church of this last 2,000 years is espoused or engaged to Christ. The Bible says that God the Father, by the way, in the Old Testament, is married to Israel. Did you know that? God the Father, the Bible says, is married to the nation Israel. But that the church is espoused or engaged to Christ. Well, I don't know about you, but I hope you don't view going to heaven as an impending marriage. Man, I hope you're excited about it. And nothing to flee from. It's the Lord's desire that we have gladness of heart. Weddings are to be joyous and glad and exciting. You know, sometimes, church, I wish you could see the things that I see from up here. Yesterday I did a funeral, and I'm sure in the not too distant future I'll do a wedding. I've done weddings recently, and then a funeral, and then a wedding, and a funeral. And you know what? Sometimes, I gotta tell you, sometimes, often most of the time, I'm looking out there, and people are pretty much, the crowd looks the same. We could almost cut them out in cardboard and have them sit there in the seat, you know? They look the same. Why? I don't think we do funerals right, and I don't think we do weddings right. Certainly not according to the Oriental custom, it's called, in the times of Christ. The Middle East, men, when they do a wedding, when they do a funeral, it's a big deal. Men, when they do a wedding, it's a super big deal. We do this thing, yeah, I mean, I know it's a big deal. You say, well, Pastor, what are you, crazy? It's so expensive here. I think we have more buck, but less bang. They have less buck and big bang. They have big excitement. It goes on for days. And they're singing and dancing and all this stuff's going on. And it's just cool. You know, we have a wedding and the father of the bride's crying, usually right about there. He keeps pulling out his wallet. It's amazing. It's amazing. We are to be glad of heart. Number two, look at verse 7. We are to be rejoicing. Do you not want a real relationship with God? Listen, do you not want to be in heaven? Do you not want to attend this wedding in heaven? Don't miss it. Because listen, one of God's desires is that we be rejoicing. And I want to give you the meaning of this word. And I hope this doesn't bore you, but it's exciting. The word literally means to be rejoicing is to jump for joy, to be exultant with exceeding great overwhelming joy. To be fully engulfed is another meaning of the word. Let us be glad and fully engulfed. In what? In the fact that there is a marriage supper of the Lamb, that there's a wedding of the Lamb to the bride of Christ, and we are to be excited about it. Not only those who are in attendance, but no doubt the Bible clearly tells us in Zephaniah 3 that the Lord is very excited, so much so that he'll dance. That's radical. But we should be excited. We should be very excited and we should be rejoicing, engulfed in it, overwhelmed, jump for joy. You know what? When I read words like this and the meaning in the Greek language, now I see why there's things called the like Pentecostal type movements. And I don't mean all of that in all of its manifestations. But I'm telling you, when I read a word like this, that in heaven, the declaration is given to the believer, you need to be glad and you need to rejoice. Oh, what does that word mean? Jump for joy. Oh, come on. Do you realize? Now, look, we are so refined, but we live in Southern California. We are too refined. We're laid back. No, we're not. Because you know what the truth of the matter is? For those of us who are going to heaven, the fact is we are going to jump for joy in heaven. That's radical. You say, Pastor, you're not encouraging it now, are you? No, my back hurts too much right now to jump for joy. But my heart's jumping for joy. I'm living in this body right now. I can't wait to get my new one. You like the one you got? Yes, I'm 19 and I like the one I have. Hallelujah, someday you will not be 19 and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. We are going to heaven. And this earth is not our home. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, go your way, eat the fat. I knew that was biblical. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those who have not had anything prepared for them. For this is a holy day to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study of Revelation 19 and verses 6 through 10, it's simply called, I Do, a reference to the marriage of the Lamb found in this passage. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. You know, this final apocalyptic book of Scripture is quite the exciting text to delve into. And that's just one of the reasons we've made Pastor Jack's recent studies in it available online. Visit us at www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. You can listen to it right then and there, or download it to hear it at a time that more agrees with your schedule. You may also subscribe to our podcasts of Real Radio. Remember, there's no charge for any of this. And once you're there, you'll also see why you should mark it as a favorite and visit us often. realradioactive.org. Now, you can also contact us by telephone, area code 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And if you've been enjoying Real Radio, remember that you can make a tax-deductible contribution to our radio fund. You may do so online, call us, or send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.